Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Kuf Samach Hey, towards the bottom. And in this chapter, we're talking about the foundation of what it is to be human, is to have desires and wants. And we said that the wanting is an independent service to Hashem that need not be connected to anything else. Discuss the idea of the Chazal that says if you want to do a mitzvah, you didn't have a chance to do a mitzvah. The wanting itself is something that is rewarded. If it was a genuine want that was sincere, that you would have done it, but it was the action was just against your will not to. So that was considered as if you had done a tremendous amount of wanting. And then we ended off this year with a earth-shattering concept from Blitzado. What was the purpose of all the decrees during history when Jews could not learn Torah? And he said a fundamental principle that there are times when the correction of the world, the concept of the correction of the world, is in terms of desire alone. And the fact that Jews want to learn Torah and they're not able to, that lack of ability to learn Torah arouses a yearning and a desire that's so deep, so pure, and that is the goal in and of itself. Because if you remember the context of what we're talking about, the whole context of Yiddishkeit is this desire and this ability to get close to Hashem. You can get close to Hashem. So with the conventional understanding is you're close to Hashem by doing mitzvahs, which is true. You have to do mitzvahs. But that only gets one level of your essence close to Hashem. We have different levels of soul. So the lowest level of soul, which is the nefesh, which eternalizes the physical activities that a person does. So that level of the person gets close to Hashem by doing things. But then there's singing and talking and thinking. And the deepest part of that connection is in the realm of thinking and desires, and this idea of kirves alokim litov, closeness to Hashem, this is what's best for me. And you get closer to people, not only by doing things with people, but by yearning and wanting. And this person who wants to learn Torah because he knows that this Torah is what will get him closest to Hashem. It's the closest thing, that and tefillah, are the two most powerful things that get you close to Hashem. And someone does not allow you to do that activity which gets you close to Hashem. So the yearning for Hashem becomes so strong. If it's learning just to learn Torah but not to be with Hashem, that won't be good enough. Obviously, it's the learning of Torah that connects me to Hashem that I'm not able to have. That is an extremely significant thing, and that's worth a lot in terms of your closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we continue at the bottom two lines on page Kuf Samach Hei. Kesha'adam yachal lilmod, when a person is able to learn, hu amnam rotza lilmod, certainly he wants to learn, because if he doesn't want to learn, he wouldn't be learning. Of course, we're not talking about kids in school. We're talking about adults. Nobody who's here right now at 6:15 isn't here because they didn't want to be here. To some extent, you want to be here. Avol harotzam b'derechlal hu berama misuyemes v'sulo. But the desire to want to be learning is at a certain level, but not beyond that level. We could even say it's a good level, but it's a certain level. Ach kishlo nosim lodim lilmod. But when we don't allow a person to learn Torah, misorer bo kawach, next page, hatov b'tshuka yosel yona. It arouses within him a good power of a yearning that is much higher. V'yesh ratzon harbe harbe yoser amuk begilui. And it is a much deeper desire, much, much deeper desire that becomes revealed. So dafka b'matzovim elu, specifically at those times, munach ha-binyan ha-pnimi shel ratzon adam, there lies the innermost structure of the desire of a person. Remember we said that the ratzon is the root of the binyan. The stronger the ratzon, the stronger the binyan. The stronger the desire, the stronger is the structure going to be. So when you can't learn, that yearning and that desire is so strong, and that it makes the structure stronger. And this is the purpose of the decrees. Kach melamdeinu haramchal. This is what the Ramchal is teaching us. La'orer es haratzon ha'pnimi b'nefesh ha'adam. To arouse the innermost yearning within the soul of the person. This is the concept of why God brought these decrees to the Jewish people, that they could not learn or observe Torah for that matter. Now, Yishol HaShoel. So the questioner who's listening to this will ask the following question. Nu, Yesh Ratzon, Avolamai Sarei Lalamdim. There is a desire during these decrees where Jews could learn Torah, but bottom line is they're not learning. He gufat shuva. So that's the answer, Omer Ramcham. So Ramchal is saying, that's the whole point. Yesh binyan shel kaimas haratzon. There is a structure, there's a building of the structure of desire. Vizeh binyan laso, and it is its own building. Zeh shalav bitzuras binyan ha'olam. This is a level, this is a step within the structure of the building of the world. Sha'adam megalas haratzon amiti shel atzmo, that the person reveals that truest desire within himself. Now, of course, they're obviously, during decrees like this, there'll be some Jews who won't care about the learning of Torah. Okay, but those aren't the ones who the decree is for, interestingly enough. It's for the ones who really want it, but haven't developed. And the truth is, it's not necessarily a negative. It doesn't have to be a negative. I mean, it can obviously become a negative. It doesn't have to be a negative. Because no matter how good your learning is, no matter how close you are to Hashem, you can get closer if you don't have the learning. He can be a tzaddik, but if a tzaddik can't learn, his yearning can even be stronger. His yearning can be stronger. There's no limit to what your yearning can be. It's a limitless commodity. So, if you, you know, you're a big tzaddik and you love to learn, you want to learn, just give him a few weeks, a few years where he can't learn. You'll see how much more he will want that learning. So it doesn't necessarily have to be as a result of bad things. It could be that God is saying that the world needs more yearning right now to sustain itself. For whatever reasons we don't understand, that's the ticking for the world. So this is the concept in a global sense, a historical concept. And this is the same story when we're dealing with the soul of each and every individual Jew. For every person, there are many desires. So nasak bereg kerega beretzonas aruchonis. Let's just stop for a moment and talk about spiritual desires. Can move on. Certainly, shechelkam einam yotzim lepol. A certain amount of those desires don't ever reach fruition. Kesharetzonas halalu lo yotzim lepol. When those desires don't ever reach fruition in action. Befrat imadub eretzon chazak. And specifically, we're going to talk about a strong yearning. La adam. For a person, mat mitivo, yesh agmas nefesh. Generally speaking, a person has a certain degree of anguish. Vumargish, and he feels the following. Oy, kama chaval shirotzen zele yatzlopo. Oy, what a waste. What a shame that this desire has not come to fruition. Kama me'achzev sheshifazu lo his mamasha. Deceitful. No, kosev, right? To be. No, isn't that it? That this yearning hasn't come to reality. In other words, it was a yearning. You wanted this, and it doesn't come out. So it was like the yearning fooled us. It tricked us. It tricked us. You wanted it, and once you want it, you think you might get it. And you didn't get it. It was a tricky yearning. It didn't come true. It fooled us. It didn't come out. Right, so a lot of us have spiritual goals that we really, really want, and it doesn't come true. This is starting to touch on a little bit of what we're going to learn tonight, so I'm not going to elaborate too much at this point. But you have to understand, you got to know that from the get-go, Hashem has given us certain desires that we will never be able to implement. There are certain desires that reach the soul of a person, called echad vechad l'fi nafsho, everyone according to the type of soul he has. that the person does not have the capabilities to implement those desires. Some people really want something. Now again, you have to be very careful here. You can't fool yourself of what you want. You have to be very honest here. A lot of people say they want things, really don't want them, don't get them, and they say, oh, well, at least I wanted it. You have to be very, very honest with yourself, and there's ways to know if you're honest. Like, I really did want to learn Shas. Too bad I never got to learn Shas. Well, how many hours a day did you learn? Well, I never learned. So then that means you never really wanted to learn. You know, if the guy says, listen, I tried, I learned 5 hours a day, but I have a head made out of wood, and I didn't get very far. Okay, well, you learned 5 hours a day. You tried. You were retired. You learned so many hours a day for so many years, but just didn't go in. Whatever. Okay, that's something else. So this is assuming that you're really being honest, and you really tried, and you weren't able to accomplish it. And what the author is saying is there are going to be certain goals that you will never reach. There's going to be many goals that you can reach, and there's going to be certain goals that you will never be able to reach. Imke, therefore, Ratzon she'efshar liyasmo. So let's talk about a goal that is not possible to implement. Madua notu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lev Adam. So why did God put that yearning into your heart? Why did God put in your heart to want such a good, important thing, knowing that you can't reach it? It seems that God would be extremely cruel. Because after all, who puts the yearning in your heart if not HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And, you know, he puts it in initially. Then you have to cultivate it, you have to work on it, you have to own it. But he's allowing you to feel this way. He created within your personality that you can really desire the stars spiritually. And you really develop that desire, you really want it. And God knows all along from the beginning that you'll never get it. So what kind of cruel trick is this for the Almighty to do? Like, why does God allow this thing to spread out in the person? You know, to really become part of that person. You know, let's finish and we'll give examples. The answer is, just like we understand, that the goal of everything is an action, that you're really doing it, lamaisa. And that's an important thing. In the exact same way, there's a primary thing that's just in the realm of wanting. The essential point that a person awakens within himself, the desire to yearn for something very special. And his whole essence is invested in that desire. Zugufa tachlis avodas adam b'yisrael. That itself is the goal of the person at this time in his life. As Litzado has said already. That there is something very special for a true, true yearning and desire that a person wants to have. And if that's a true desire and the person not fooling himself, that is a tremendous way of building the foundation of a person. So you have this. This plays itself out in many ways. If a person, you know, has a yearning, you know, let's say the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe, I'm sure, yearned to have children. Right? Yearned to have children. Never was blessed with children. So, and you can be sure when the Lubavitcher Rebbe wanted children, it wasn't just so he could have someone to say Kaddish for him. Right? He understood how important that mitzvah is in terms of making a person able to fulfill a mitzvah and get close to Hashem. And he probably davened thousands of tefillos, him and his Rebbetzin, to have a child. And it's not what they call the quote-unquote happy ending. You know, they davened, okay, and after 10 years, they went to a Rebbe, this and that, and they did this and everything. And believe me, I'm sure the Lubavitcher knew every trick in the book. He knew every trick in the book. Whatever trick there was, he did. Whatever place for a bracha, he went. Whatever tefillah he could do, he did. Right? But at the end of the day, God said no. So now, so what about all that yearning? So, you know, that's probably the yearning that made him one of the greatest spreaders of Torah in the world. You know. But one thing's clear, that yearning was something, that was a goal in and of itself. That goal in and of itself was something. And you know, and how are you to know that didn't, you know, make other things happen and gave him that tremendous power well into his 80s, 90s, whatever, that he was able to spread Torah in a way that very few people were able to spread Torah. Now, even if he wouldn't have been able to spread Torah, and even if, you know, the person that we're speaking about is not the Lubavitch Rebbe, but a simple Jew who can never have children, there's no tragedy in that, because, first of all, that's the way God wrote the script. And now, your choice is, what was the question, so what can I do? Your choice is to really want it. To really want it. And to really, really want it for the right reasons, of course. That's very tricky in certain areas. For the right reasons is always tricky. But to really want it, and now that the person wants it, that is a tremendous structure, foundation for the structure of that human being. Because if that's a yearning, because you want to come close to Hashem, so that will enable you to come close to Hashem in all so many different ways within your life. And if and God is saying, from this person, this is what I want. That is your mission in life, is for you to yearn for children probably more than anybody else would ever yearn for children. And as far as God's concerned, that's what I want to see. I want to see how badly you wanted this. And that's how it plays itself out in the person's life. And there's nothing to feel sad about if that's ultimately what God, how he plays out the script. And all that yearning and all that wanting is not a waste, but it is very, very powerful and desirable. So, you know, this also plays out the example of Ramchal. This is like, it's like an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener. Because, you know, we have unfortunately this, and now it's not unfortunately, you know, it's fortunately. This idea that when people want to become Bali Tshuvas, there's sometimes spouses who are not interested in that happening, and to a great degree, it kind of stymies the entire process for the person who wants it. So now, and it's a very heartbreaking thing, and how does a person deal with this? So what the Lutzado is revealing to us is that when a person in his individual life is married to someone who will not allow him to go ahead, so there's lots of options and lots of things, and it's a very complicated subject. And there's many areas to deal with. But one area is that, and how can the person feel good about it? And you have people who get to a point where they study, but they can't implement because the spouse isn't going to let them implement. And they don't want to divorce their spouse. So the question is, now what is God doing to this person? God is torturing this person. This person wakes up and realizes that the way he was living life wasn't the way it's supposed to be lived. This is the way I'm supposed to live my life. And now you're not even going to let me live the way I want to live my life. Right? And now, you know, and how long can the person continue that way, learning and not doing, and not being able to accomplish that which they want to accomplish? After a while, the person should say, you know, I give up, because this is not going to happen. And it's bashir that Hashem never wanted me to be this way. And he just wanted to jerk me around and to tease me. That's all he wanted, was to tease me. So he teased me for a couple of years, and I realized that, forget it, it's not going to be. So chas v'shalom, that's not what Hashem wants. What Hashem wants, he could want a lot of things. In every case, it needs its own judgment. But one thing's for sure, for whatever reason, Hashem is now putting a gzeiras hashmad on this individual. He is putting a decree that this person cannot fulfill Torah, no different than the Romans made a decree on the Jewish people at large. And that person is going through his own personal decree, where Hashem is saying, the decree is you are not going to implement in your life for a certain period of time at least, the ability to actually learn Torah and practice a Jewish life. But the question is, how much do you yearn for it? And if you yearn for this in an incredible way, this is the avoda that Hashem asks from the person. Because there obviously isn't enough yearning going around with the Jewish people. You have a lot of the FFBs around that are the FFHs, and that they're doing things, but they're not really yearning for these things from habit. From habit. Okay? And, you know, they were davening, and they're not yearning for it. They don't care. You know, and you know, there's a whole world of FFHs that aren't close to Hashem at all. You have a lot of action, but not any feelings. Not any yearnings. So Hashem says, well, for this world to continue, I need a lot of yearning. So I'm going to have to create a whole cadre of people who are filled with yearnings, even though they don't have any ability to do, because I got too many doers and not enough yearners. It makes a lot of sense, because the Jewish people have to have firing on all thrusters. We have to be firing on all thrusters, and we're not firing enough in terms of genuine desires. We have too many Jews without genuine desires to connect to Hashem. It's just not there. And that's what he's saying. He's saying there is a purpose in and of itself that people should yearn and desire, because that is really the highest level of closeness to Hashem, even if one is not able to do this. Now, it doesn't mean to say that after a certain amount of time, you know, God will enable things to happen, that the person will be able to fulfill those mitzvahs. And of course, you know, the person tries and he pushes and he this and, you know, again, it's too personalized to discuss in a general way. But one thing is clear, and this is a big nechama. There's a big comfort for those who have challenging lifestyles, where their family is not interested in what they're interested in, and to a certain degree, it does hold them back. So the answer is, a person has to be makabel on himself. They have to accept himself. This is the decree. The decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that I'm not to be able to fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs, because there is a harsh ruler who is not allowing me to do this. And we know that it's not the ruler, but it's Hashem, right? When the Romans said the Jews can't learn Torah, it's not the Romans. They know it's Hashem put in the mind. The Romans have the decree. There's no question about it. So if you have a spouse who doesn't let you learn Torah, it's Hashem is telling you can't learn Torah. Hashem is saying, I don't want you to do certain things. Right?
He wants you to yearn.
What? And he wants you to yearn.
The yearning is fueled to a certain extent by progress.
Yearning is
fueled
in the past tense.
By progress. No.
You know, normally... I'm sorry, I hear what you're saying, but can you explain what you mean? I'm not sure.
Continue yearning.
Yes.
From a human perspective.
Yes.
There has to be some progress. There has to be some.
So that point that you're saying, so that's what he, before you walked in, he said that's not true. He's saying it is, now normally that's what happens. Normally you're right, that the yearning is fueled by progress, or better yet, the yearning fuels the progress, which then fuels the yearning. But sometimes not. Because sometimes when you succeed, you sit back, there's a big Yetzer Hara that says, I'm accomplished. There's nothing more to yearn. But it's possible that it should continue. You see one success, you want another success, you want another success. And that is the normative cycle. But what the author is saying here is that we are not appreciating how much yearning is a goal in and of itself. And that's what he is saying. There is a goal of yearning that is its own goal and should never be looked at as it's not valuable if it's not matched with action. Now, normally, under a normal, healthy situation, yes, it must be matched with action. If you have a normal lifestyle and there's nothing inhibiting your ability to progress, then you should see actions. If you don't, then you know the yearning is phony. But the point that he's saying is sometimes God puts within us yearnings where God himself knows we don't have the tools to do it. God knows you don't have the ability to do it. And he puts in your mind the yearning anyway. He puts it, and you really, really want it. And you're never going to accomplish it. So why does God do that? Because that yearning in and of itself is a precious thing. Is a precious thing. And we can't, and that is the deepest part of the person. And for whatever reasons that we can't know, God wants from certain people in certain areas yearnings, and that's all. And that yearning, as we said, if you can't do it, is greater than when you can do it. That's what I said yesterday. When the Jews in the Holocaust couldn't put tefillin on for 2 years. Right? And if they got one day, they heard somebody smuggled in some tefillin into the camps. Right? That yearning for those 2 years before they put on the tefillin was stronger than any time they ever put their tefillin on their life beforehand. And that's the problem. Because sometimes it's so easy to do the mitzvahs, the yearning isn't what it could be. And when you can't do it, the yearning is much bigger. And if the yearning is much bigger, your closest to Hashem has to be much bigger. And that happens when you can't do it. So therefore, there are times where God decides that this is what I want. And that's the whole point of this chapter and the last chapter is we have to develop the strongest yearning imaginable. And we aren't close to that. And sometimes the way to get there is by not being able to do it. And that makes the yearning very strong.
Is there a difference between yearning in a situation where you have some level of control versus when you don't? Like in the concentration camp, you could yearn all you want, but you didn't have the ability to actualize your yearning.
Schmuck.
Yeah.
But the rest, like for something else, for example, where you do have some control, does that change the scenario?
Well, we're saying naturally within a person, if you can't do something you want to do, you want it more. So at times God wants that to happen. You can yearn for something very much. If you're a tzaddik, a big tzaddik, you could yearn for something a lot and you can accomplish it and yearn a lot and accomplish. But even for that tzaddik, if he's withheld from doing it, he will yearn even deeper. He will yearn even deeper because it's something you really want. A person loves their wife, a great marriage, one of the best you've ever seen, and now he's separated for 5 years. Is he not going to yearn for her more? And you're going to doubt, he loves, you're going to doubt that he didn't love his wife. He loves his wife, really loves his wife, but he can't see her now for 5 years. He's going to want her more, even more. So that's what we're saying, that sometimes Hashem does this to bring out the deepest yearning within the person, and that, as he's saying, is the structure of that everything rests upon. And sometimes God has to push the envelope so that the yearning gets much deeper than it would have been otherwise. And that's why the certain Jews who aren't able to do the mitzvahs, because there's outside things not allowing them to do that, you take comfort in knowing that your yearning can very well be deeper than other people's yearnings. Now, it could be that after a certain amount of time, that yearning will just break through and say, the heck with it, I'm going to do it anyway. Or sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And that's why you have to Hashem to decide, on the virtues of the person or not. And it's not for us to be able to decide that. But this is an incredible comfort to realize. And it's unfortunate. Now that I've seen this, I have to tell it to a lot of people. I have to tell them this Ramchal. This is mamash a lifesaver. What about the people, What about people, Animami Bemunishlaim of Via Samashiach? I mean, the point of this has been that we should yearn for Mashiach. It's taken so long, we should yearn for it. But that was the hope was. If we yearn enough for the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash will come back. Obviously, it's not. There can be multiple reasons. Many say because we're not yearning for it enough. But I'm sure there are tzaddikim who are yearning. And that yearning is very precious in front of God's eyes. So we got to realize, again, that's what he said in the beginning. Judaism is not a religion of product alone. It's a religion of process. And the process is much more important than the product. If the process is a healthy, healthy process, the product is just affirmation of the healthy process that went on. And that's what we said. You don't get paid for the results. We get paid for the process. And if it's a sincere process and you were really sincere and you tried your best and you tried better than all and you yearned and all that, that's all part of the schar. That's all part of what connects you to Hashem. Remember, this whole schar is how connected you are to Hashem. That's all it is. At the end of the day, how connected are you to Hashem? That's why we're here. So how connected are you? So you're connected. It's interesting. My wife was telling me we met someone in the Pesach Hotel, and so a few people are starting to come and learn as a result of that, and hopefully we'll be able to connect them to our community. There's a number of families, some good kiruv options are coming up. So anyway, so this one lady who we will say modern Orthodox. I use that term guardedly. Shomer Torah. I mean, keeps Shabbos, keeps kosher, lights candles Friday night, sends their kids to a Jewish day school. And this person was struck with a, what do you call it, a kidney disease, right? What do you need dialysis for? Kidneys, right?
Kidney.
A kidney disease, right? So, and this person was not old, and was struck with this disease. And the person was very angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is, I would assume this person didn't know the intricacies of the Vavi. Okay? Didn't know, you know, you're regular Jews. I'm a Jew because I'm a Jew. And this is what we do. This is what my mother did. You know. So what she did was, after she reached a certain point, she would do what? She'd light candles. She didn't, you know, her observance dropped. But what would she do? She would light candles Friday night on time, and then bedafka be machal Shabbos right afterwards. To say to God, you know, I'm so angry at you that you have struck me down like this for no reason, that I'll still light candles, but I'm going to bedafka show you how angry I'm at you, and I'm going to do this and then everything else. So, you know, that's unfortunate. That's so unfortunate. And she consulted with a rabbi who was also going through his physical challenges. And that rabbi, after hearing all that, said, listen, just whatever you do, just keep lighting those candles. But So it's Bashir that she's at the Pesach, she meets my wife, and now she's starting to go to my wife's classes on coping with life's challenges, et cetera, hopefully something good will come out of that. But the point we're trying to say is that sometimes Hashem does something, and he's saying, all I want is your yearning. See, if we would understand that Yiddishkeit is a process religion, you're not well, so what's so bad about not being well? What's wrong with not being well? Right, so according to what we're learning, what's wrong with it? I can't do as many mitzvahs as I could do. That's really what's wrong with it. Other people will say other things, but they're not the real reasons. I want to have fun. I want to be able to do everything I want. You know, play around. What were you doing already? What were you doing already? You know, watching soap operas and just making money? Like, what were you doing? So obviously Hashem is sending something along for us to think, but even the person, so things aren't going the way you're planning. I go, you wanted to accomplish something. But at the end of the day, that's not what you're here for. You're here to get close to Hashem. And how you get close to Hashem is how God defines it, not how you define it. That's the problem. We don't define it. God defines it. He defines it first by the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. He says, this is how you're going to get close to me. There's no other way. But I want to help all and save all the whales. No, that's not going to get you close to me, because that's not one of the mitzvahs of my Torah. It's not, it really isn't. I'm sorry. I know you're a wonderful humanitarian, but I would have much preferred that you would go into send millions of dollars into Sderot than to save the whales. Really. God says, I'll take care of the whales, you take care of Yidden. And that's what it says in my Torah. So as much as your yearning is for something, that's not what God wants. You're not getting close to Hashem by saving any whales. Right? So that's number one. Number two, God dictates circumstances in your life that will not allow you even to do what he told you to begin with. And this is where it gets interesting. So how would a person who's learning Bavli and should never come to such a person, should be a schus to learn Bavli, should never have this question. A person who learns Bavli is now struck down with a disease. And now they've got to spend hours running for therapy and this and that and all these things. So now how's that person supposed to respond? The person's supposed to say, listen, Rabbi Shalom, until now, I had wanted to spend my time learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, doing chesed, you know, cooking for Shabbos and honoring the Shabbos by making beautiful challahs and this and this. And I was feeling close to you and I was able to do these things and I love this. Now I see that you've given me a different agenda. I'm not going to be able to Friday afternoons make challahs. I have to sit in the St. Margaret's Hospital for a whole morning. And that's the agenda that you've set. So who might argue with what you're setting? I will daven and say, Hashem, Master Universe, if it's at all good for me, I would prefer to be healthier. And if it fits into your grand scheme of things, from what I can see, I would think it would be better for me to be healthier. And I'm asking you to change it if it's at all in the cards. But if it's not in the cards, then I say one thing. You should know how badly I want to do it. And when the person davens Hashem and says, you know, if I wasn't sick, chas v'shalom, I would have been making challahs for Shabbos, and I would have been learning Torah this morning, but since I'm so tired from the treatments, I can't get up till 10 in the morning. So what I really want, and I want to tell it to you, because more than I've ever said it before, I really want to be able to learn Torah, make challahs, do kindness. And that's what I really want, and that's what I want to share with you at this time. So then when the person goes through this time, they should not feel depressed. Because now that they've been given, this is what Hashem says, this is how you will get close to me. And the person, and guess what? You may get closer to me now than you ever got before in your life. Because when you really yearn to do that, that's a yearning you never ever got to in your whole life. And that yearning, the yearning is ultimately what makes us closer to God than anything else. Again, don't fool yourself with false yearnings that never play out. When they could have played out. We're not talking about that. But a real yearning, so that's what a person has to realize, is that is, that's the ikar. Is the yearning, is more than the actions. And a real sincere yearning can get you closer to Hashem than a lifetime of a lower level of yearning with mitzvah observance. And that, maybe that was God's whole plan, is that as you end your life, you get closer to Him. Maybe that's one of the reasons why God sends cancer to this world. Not the only reason. But one of the reasons that the person can yearn. At least you can yearn. And your yearning can make you on a great... And as you're leaving this world, God says, you know, Rachmanis, I want this person to get closer to me. And it's not that necessarily the person wasn't that good to begin with. You have big tzaddikim who suffer the end of their lives. So, but what's the point? So even the big tzaddik can be a bigger tzaddik, no? Is there a limit? Is there a ceiling? I've reached the top of tzidkus. You don't reach the top of tzidkus. You can even be a bigger tzaddik than what you are today. And God can give a sickness to a tzaddik so that he should reach higher levels than he ever reached before. That's what the person has to focus on. You gotta always focus on what the goal is. And that goal, God can never stop you from that goal. That goal is getting close to Hashem. And you could take challenging situations and say, God, I'm going to show you I can even get closer to you, even without being able to put tefillin on, without being able to learn, and without being able to make challahs. I get closer than I ever got my whole life. And that's the real challenge that the person has. But in a world that is product orientated, and let's say your entire life you were working at a company or whatever, that every moment of your life was judged on product, and not process, then it's very hard sometimes to make the shift over, that when you're getting into the spiritual world, it doesn't work that way. And a person could chas v'shalom look at him and say, hey, what a failure I was. What do you mean a failure? Hey, you know, God makes the person sick. He said, what a failure I was. I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, I couldn't do all these things. So who's to say that that is the definition of failure? Yeah, if you're working at GM, they call you a failure. Because you're missing so many days, so I have to let you go. But Hashem never lays you off from work. He says, I want you to work in a different division. It's called the division of suffering. It's our suffering division. We'd like you to work on expansion in the suffering division. And show us how much yearning you can accomplish in the suffering division. Now, lo aleinu, we never daven for this. We never daven for this at all. We daven that we should be able to yearn as best as we can with all the hatzlachas in life. But if the hatzlachas aren't there, then there's certainly the ability to succeed in the yearning area more than you ever able to succeed in your life. It's much just a fantastic piece. This is mamish. It could save people's neshamas from this. Yes, question.
So you're saying that level of yearning comes with, as you say, suffering, some emotional pain. Is it possible that if you have that nechama, that comfort from knowing that takes away the emotional pain and therefore the yearning lessens in intensity?
Can the fact that you come to terms with the challenge that Hashem gives you, can that lower the pain and therefore lower the yearning? Hmm. It's not likely. If the yearning is a sincere yearning, you still want to be able, you know that it's still better that I could put on the tefillin. There's still an aspect that I can't accomplish, that I'm looking forward to be able to do. I'm looking able to do it. Again, if one would be separated from a spouse, you're going to say, you know, you're going to want them more. You're not going to say, well, now that I want them more, I don't feel so bad. You're going to feel bad. There's nothing wrong with, in other words, there's two kinds of feeling bad. There's the feeling bad that I would like to have done something that's a wonderful thing. And there's the feeling bad that I'm a loser. So the feeling bad that you're a loser, you'll lose. And you're not going to feel that bad. But the feeling bad that you can't do it, and you know that that's a wonderful aspect of your life you would like to do, you know, and that wouldn't you feel bad you can't give your wife a hug and you can't give her flowers, and that's something I can't do, right? So I still feel bad that I can't do that, right? But at least I can feel good over the fact that my love for her is stronger. So you're able to contain both feelings. You're able to contain both feelings. Because that's ultimately that's what you're going to say. Well, you know, I really love her so much more. I don't have to bother to see her anymore. You know, I've gotten such a taste, but I love her 10 times more than ever when I was with her. So I don't need to see her. Remember, I'm not even looking forward to seeing her because I love her. No, that's not logical. Because if you really love the person, you still want to be with that person, right? So you want to be as close to Shem, and you know, putting on tefillin is a big thing. It is a big thing. It's not a small thing, and you want to be able to do that. That's such a precious thing. And God's not letting me. Okay, I can't fight with it. But I can still want it. And you're going to want it as badly as ever. You're not going to feel bad about yourself as a person. But you will feel bad that you haven't been able to accomplish that.
You'll still want it even though you know that's what God...
Let's put it this way. If God says, okay, you have a chance to put on tefillin tomorrow. You want it? Sure thing. And believe me, when you're going to put those tefillin on then, whoa. That's the same thing when a person is an onen, chas v'shol. After a person's close relative dies, till the burial, you're not allowed to do mitzvahs. Part of that system is, so that when maybe you've taken your mitzvah observance for granted, and now you have a whole day where you can't put on tefillin, you can't make brachas, you can't do these things, and part of you is supposed to be thinking, you know, is really, I miss it. So that when you put, how often is it? You know, I put tefillin every day of my whole life. Since I bar mitzvah, I never did put on tefillin except for 2 days. The 2 days that my parents died. Right? So that day, can you imagine if you get up one day and someone says, you know, don't put on tefillin today. You know, let's say today, I'll say, listen, I know times are tough for you. Here, I'll cut you a check for $50,000 if you don't put on tefillin today. Anybody in this room going to take the offer? And you need the money badly. You really need the money badly. You're not going to do it. Because how can I not put on tefillin? How can I not put on tefillin? Right? So God builds into the system. I don't care what you say. You're not even going to get $50,000. You're not putting on tefillin today because your father died. So now when you're going to come back to that tefillin the next day, hopefully, and especially after what you've gone through, to appreciate that tefillin a lot more. And that happens a lot of times after Chol HaMoed. If you're not putting on tefillin Chol HaMoed, you appreciate it then also. So sometimes the inability, there's a great, not just a silver lining, it's a gold lace. That's the whole beauty of the whole thing. So we should think about this. We should really think about this. It gives us a lot of comfort, and we should be zeicha for a good shavuos and lots of healthy learning. And thank Hashem that we're able to learn from